On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Yes, this is an emergency podcast.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
All right. Mitch.
Sound the alarms.
Jeez. All right. Mitch and Pete are here with me. Meet. Yeah. Tandler's on the Lazy Boy. RT, how are you?
Hey, doing great.
To prove this is an emergency podcast, I'm on my third Diet Coke of the day, and I'm a little shaky, man. It's a long damn day. I always like when I'm able to break some nuggets on the schedule. I think we were able to do a good job of that early in the day. Let folks know that for a fairly unprecedented third straight year, we're going to be working on Thanksgiving. We're headed to Dallas, Redskins, Cowboys, Thanksgiving Day. We're going to give you our reaction to the schedule, but before we do that, we're just going to go through the whole damn schedule so everybody has it. Week 1, September 9th at Arizona. It's going to be a 4 o'clock kick. Skins opening on the road out west. It's an interesting setup. Week 2, they are home, host the Colts. Week 3, home, host the Packers. Week 4, bye. Man, that's early. Week 5, at New Orleans for a Monday night game. The Superdome is going to be wild. Week 6, home against the Panthers. Week 7, home against the Cowboys. Week 8, at New York. Playing the Giants. Week 9, home, hosting the Falcons. I'm losing track of the weeks. November 11th, they will be in Tampa. Week 10 against Tampa. November 18th, week 11, home against the Texans. Then we have it week 12, Thanksgiving Day, 4:30 kick against the Cowboys in Dallas. After these games get hard, man. After the Cowboys, the following Monday at Philly for Monday Night Football, that place will be wild. Then they're finally back home. They play the Giants on December 9th at Jacksonville, December 16th. Last two games of the year at Tennessee. So everybody's looking forward to that Nashville trip. It's going to be Christmas time. I don't know if everybody's traveling then. And last game of the year, home against the defending Super Bowl champs, Philadelphia Eagles. Tandler, let's start with you. What do you think of the schedule?
Well, I think you got three out of five on the road in the first half, but then that second half, you got only three home games. You've got Houston, you got the Giants game, you got the Eagles game to finish up the season. So that will be, I think they, you know, just generally looking at it, they kind of need to make some hay early. And, you know, although, you know, the Redskins have kind of struggled at home, and
this team, dude, they better start 2-0. That's what you're looking at, Arizona, which I know isn't an easy place to win, but the Cards are going to have Sam Bradford out there. It's a different, they got a new coach, and then the Colts at home, new coach, new everything.
Who knows what's going to be at QB?
They got to start 2-0. We all agree with that?
Definitely.
Yeah. And then the other thing I noticed real quick, they avoid heat. They avoid indoors at Arizona on September 9th, so we'll be hot. Hanging around Phoenix for a couple of days, but no problem for the
Packers. We'll be pleasant. It'll be pleasant.
And then it's the Jaguars are in December and the Bucks are in November. So probably no 90-degree. Oh, actually, the hottest games of the year might be those two home games on September 16th and 23rd.
Right.
I'll tell you what. That game in Jacksonville last time they played there was 2010, I believe. And it was December 26th, and it snowed on Christmas in Jacksonville for the first time in like a bajillion years. So, God willing, we don't get that. We don't get that kind of weather there either.
I'm putting this out there right now for any listeners. December 16th at Jacksonville. December 15th, we're playing golf. Let's hope for good weather.
And absolutely,
we'll enjoy it. I'm guessing I can work something out there. All right, you guys want to just go through this week by week? What should we do here, RT?
Well, you know, I think week by week, real quick, maybe a one liner each, unless somebody has something they really want to expand on, and then maybe look a little bit more big picture.
All right. Well, we already did weeks one and two. Big man has something to say.
I was just going to say, interesting, the bye week kind of sucks that it's early, but having that Thanksgiving game and having that mini bye week right afterwards is a pretty nice little break in
the
schedule.
That's the thing, is the bye week, that's a great point. And the bye week early sucks, but you're right. Not only do they play Thanksgiving, but then that next week isn't until a Monday.
Both times.
Right.
Off the bye week is a Monday, and then Thanksgiving's Monday. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know what went into that, but having that one extra day is obviously always nice.
Indeed. All right, so we've talked about the Cardinals and the Colts. Week three, Packers at home. They got to really be ready to play against Aaron Rodgers.
That's going to be a tough one.
Taylor?
No doubt. I mean, the Packers will be, they've improved defensively somewhat. And they should be, you know, they should be good to go.
So are we saying 2-1? Pete hasn't weighed in. Pete's oddly silent.
Predicting?
I don't know. You said you just want to talk about the games and not offer a prediction?
Yeah.
It's April.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's make predictions. they're completely baseless.
Yeah.
All right. 3-0.
3-0.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. Pete, airhorn right here.
Meow, 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 meow.
All right. I'm saying 2-1. Mitch?
I'm going 2-1, 24-17 loss.
Pete?
Yeah, definitely 2-1.
Taylor, bullish. I like it.
I like it.
All right, week four bye. A bye in week four kind of sucks, but then at least they do have that break where they play November 22nd on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, but they don't play again until December 3rd.
I'll tell you what, if they're 3-0 going into the bye week, you got to feel pretty good about that momentum. That momentum is going to be real, just like this podcast.
If you ain't running with it, run away from it.
Somebody's got to throw in that they'll be 4-point underdogs against the bye.
All right. Ba-dum ching. moving right along.
Pete, drop an egg turd in right here. Egg turd.
Coming out of the...
So many good drops already. This is a great emergency podcast.
Dude, I'm all hopped up on Diet Coke, man.
This is my first one. It's just fun to be here. That's why I'm quiet. I'm just kind of taking it all in.
You guys were on the phone for the Alex Smith one.
I wasn't.
Oh, it was just me, Taylor, Mitch?
Yeah.
Where the hell were you?
I was at home blogging my ass off and like trying not to fall asleep at 2 a.m.
I was in Minnesota. Gosh, that was a long night. Where were you for? We just did one, the Bruce Allen one. Or was that just me and Mitch from Orlando?
Yeah, that was just you guys.
All right, moving on. Week five at New Orleans for Monday Night Football. That place is going to be nuts.
Bring your earplugs.
I mean, that place was nuts last year, and it was a regular November game. I mean, do you remember how loud that was late in the game, Taylor? When they were staging an incredible comeback.
Yeah, and that open press box in there is crazy. It's what Mitch experiences all the time down on the field.
What's the thing about the Superdome? It's like really chilly, like the air conditioning's on. Mitch has a weird factoid about it.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the temperature was, but they chill the Superdome to like 60 some odd degrees before the game starts, just because once the fans start riling in, piling in, that place starts getting pretty warm.
Well,
but you guys up top were freezing, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, I saw a lot of tweets from the reporters.
And oddly enough, the food, the spread at the Superdome kind of sucks. All the food in New Orleans is so great. And then the Superdome was like, Taylor, wasn't it like chinty little sandwiches or something?
Yeah.
I was thinking like gumbo.
Hold on, they had...
In fact, it was sub FedEx Field, I would say.
I would agree.
Wow.
I would agree.
Pre-game, they had pancakes and waffles.
I don't know. I didn't get it.
It's better than what the photogs, what us mutts on the field normally get.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Saints Monday Nighter. I oddly think they win this one.
I agree. I think they're going to.
They should have won last year. I think when a team is really, what did the Saints go last year, Taylor? 12-4? I mean, they were good, right? Maybe 11-5. I feel like you kind of step back a bit. It's just the ebb and flow of the NFL.
And the Redskins are generally, maybe this is for every team, but I don't watch every team as closely. It seems like they steal one they shouldn't every year, and they drop one that they shouldn't every year. So maybe this is the one that they steal.
More so, I was going to say, I think that guys feel regret about how last season ended, and they're going to go in there with a little extra motivation, a little extra, you know, pep in their step.
Well, coming off the bye will help, but I'll put a nail on this one.
Okay. Yeah, same here.
So we're...
This is going to be so
me,
confusing.
Me, you, and Rich are 3-1.
I'm at 3. We're all 3. I'm 2-2.
It's 2-2.
He's 2-2. Okay.
Oh, all right, everybody keep track of your own. And Mitch, please help me with mine because I'm bad at math. Ooh, Mitch is getting a pen.
I'll keep track of it.
That's what makes Mitch highly competent.
Yeah.
And Pete.
That's why he gets the kibble.
Right, exactly. Pete is questionably competent.
Yeah.
Mitch is quite competent. All right. So, Carolina at home. To me, they have struggled against Carolina, man. And I will think back to week 15 of 2016, one of the worst games
I've
ever seen.
My laptop got stomped on the sideline at FedEx Field, and then the Redskins got stomped on FedEx Field that night.
That sounds like a you problem. How'd your laptop get stomped on?
I put it down on our set on the sideline, and then I took it up to the press box and opened it up, and it's just cracked, and I'm looking at it right now. Still cracked.
All right, I'm saying L against the Panthers.
Redskins historically kind of have trouble with the Panthers, but...
Yeah, remember Jake Delhomme stiff-arming D'Angelo
Hall?
Yeah.
That game, a punt hit like some Redskins special teamer in the helmet, and the Panthers covered it.
That was a rough one, yeah.
RT, what say you?
But hold on, I'm going win, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with the win. On the thing that they're due, I'll go on that basis. They haven't beaten the Panthers since at least 2009, 2010.
They call that the gambler's fallacy, the you're due theory, just so you know.
Okay, I'm not gambling anything. We're just mouthing off.
Hey, don't get all defensive over there.
4-1.
All right, Tam's got it. All right, how nuts is this?
This is weird because I'm going to do.
Pete's got to answer.
I'm going to do loss for Panthers. So I'm like kind of being a little bit negative, and Tamler's just binary. They're going 12-4.
We got Mitch at 4-1 and Rich at 4-1. JP 3-2.
I'm not there yet.
Pete 2-3.
The L's are coming.
The L's are coming, my friend.
Yes.
Game of Thrones.
All right. Although I don't think the following week against the Cowboys, you know, Kirk Cousins, the only game Kirk Cousins won against the Cowboys, well, the Redskins under Kirk Cousins,
right?
Because I don't believe in quarterback wins. But the only game that was that season finale in 2015, that meaningless game in Dallas that was essentially another preseason game. And that's the only time Kirk Cousins started a game the Redskins won against the Cowboys. So I think Alex Smith kind of makes his mark here and turns the tide there in that one.
Listen, you're going win? Tandler.
You're going win, Tandler?
I'm going win.
All right. What is Tandler has him at 5-1?
Yeah.
Wow, this town will go ballistic.
Our numbers will be freaking crazy.
By the way,
it's true.
I also have them at 5-1. I think they get off to a hot start. The city falls in love with Alex Smith early.
I got him beating Dallas, so I'm at 4-2. What does pessimist Pete say?
Put me down for a win. It's time.
All right.
Yeah. Hopefully they solidify their defense.
We're leading with Tandler and Mitch because they're hot.
Yeah.
They're at the hot blackjack table at New York Football Giants. Tandler, go.
Toast loss. To a team, maybe. I don't know what the Giants are going to be. Who knows?
I think they'll be way better than they were last year.
Is Eli Manning going to be looking to be benched for a rookie quarterback? What's going to be going on there? But I just feel a toast up there.
Not to be the gambler's fallacy, but the Redskins tend to struggle up in New York in that stadium, and I think the Giants are going to be much improved.
But
and
that was Cousins struggled up there, so
right.
Maybe this is the new
maybe
Alex Smith
this
era.
This is the new thing, but... Either way, I have them, like Tandler said.
Last year,
it, so.
Chiefs lost to the Giants 12-9 in New York. Therefore, I'm saying
goals.
L for
that's terrible.
Redskins.
12-9 is no bueno. I haven't gone, right?
Right.
I think they win. Let's get them to 5-2.
All right. So JP, me, and Rich all have 5-2. Pete's got 3-4.
All right, from there, Atlanta at home. I will start. This will be a loss. The Falcons can move the football, man.
On grass outside, I'm taking.
Early November, though. It's not going to be cold.
First half, it'll be chilly. Okay, it's on grass.
You call FedEx Field grass?
It's not what Falcons are used to playing on. That's for damn sure.
Damn right.
I love when Taylor's cursing. That's how you know it's an emergency pod.
Right.
I'll tell you what. Once November starts, that sun starts setting lower, and FedEx Field is more in the shade, colder than it normally is.
Listen to meteorologist Mitch
so
over
many
here.
I'm just telling scoops.
You. He knows, man.
Spending a lot of time on that sideline, I know how cold it can get there.
All right, so what?
He's down there in his shorts.
I know.
This is true, and I got them beating the Falcons at home.
Chandler, you got them beating the Falcons at home?
6-2 first half of the season.
Oh, Jim Zorn God. Style. We're going Jim Zorn style.
Pete,
in the first
are you
half.
In the book?
No, I'm saying Falcons will just hand it to Freeman and Coleman all afternoon long and just choke the Redskins
out. We're halfway through the season. Mitch, give us the totals.
This is fun.
We got JP at 5-3, Mitch at 6-2, Rich at 6-2, and Pete at 3-5.
Pessimist Pete and optimist Mitch and Rich. I never saw this coming.
Yeah.
Like, I would think 5-3 is being optimistic, but you guys have them both at 6-2.
I think they're getting out hot. They're getting out hot.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
So here's what I'll say, and I was texting with a couple friends about this. I think this team is just as good as last year. And if they get a couple breaks where people don't get hurt like crazy,
yeah.
They won 7 games last year, and they dealt with horrific injuries.
Yeah.
And they had some bad beats. They also got some lucky beats. That's just the way the football goes. I think people that are expecting them to bottom out and think, oh, Kirk's gone, they're going to win 5 games, I think that's pretty nuts. I think you're looking at a between 7-10 win team.
Yeah, I agree.
We've got them at 5-6 through the.
Yeah, you better have a fall off coming if you see that, Mitch.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Start in the second half.
Okay.
All right. The Bucks.
We start the second half of the year at Tampa.
Hello, DeSean Jackson.
Taylor, you're up.
That's going to be a loss. I think the Bucks have built up their defense. Mike Evans, I think, is the kind of receiver that just give the Redskins fit.
He torched them as a rookie.
Yes. And it's of course that was a very different Redskins secondary.
Yeah.
But still, I that's a loss.
Go ahead, Mitch.
The Redskins are unfortunately known to have stinkers on the road. This strikes me as one of those games they're going to go down there as about 1.5-2 point favorite and potentially walk out of there as a double digit loser.
I'm going to give Mitch a little homework. Taylor, are you okay with that?
Sure.
I need you to go ahead and make a reservation at Burns for Saturday, November 10th.
Done.
All right.
Are you going to stick around for dessert this time?
I am this time.
All right. Dessert room is the place to go at Burns in Tampa. Best desserts ever.
And the reservation's for us four on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Sure.
The reservation probably be for a bunch, Pete, but okay. I don't know if you're making the trip. Pete, what do you got
at
Tampa?
My turnaround begins here for the 2018 Redskins win in Tampa.
I go loss.
All right.
So I'm at 5.
Moving on. We'll get there.
Next week, Houston at home. We're going to let Pete start.
DeSean Watson, he'll probably be at full strength by then.
Hell, he's supposed to be at full strength by like week 2.
Right, but then he'll have all the rust off. But still, I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair, and the Redskins will be coming out second half and get another win. So right. I have him at 5-5 now and trending upward.
Tischler.
I got them going the other direction. I do not think that this is a win. I think this is going to be a tough team for them to deal with. I think that's going to be a tough defense for them to deal with, particularly.
We're all going to meet at the end at be like 9-7, 8.
Taylor.
That's just how we get there.
J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney.
Trent Williams, although, Morgan, Moses.
Okay, I still don't like it. I just don't like the matchup. DeAndre Hopkins, same kind of like Mike Evans, that same general kind of receiver, i.e. highly productive.
Yeah, i.e. really good.
I worry about assuming it's Watson's ability to move around and make big plays on third downs, and I'm going L. So that leads us to Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Looks like we'll be eating dinner with Jerry Jones again. He puts out a very nice turkey spread. Mitch, another piece of homework. What was that place? The Pecan Lodge?
Yep.
Let's make sure we get a reservation at the Pecan Lodge.
Mitch is actually writing this down for the listeners. So he's taking his homework seriously.
I mean, this is important stuff.
Yeah.
Pete, you haven't been on the road enough, but where we eat dinner is very, very important.
It's like,
but is this random sheet of paper going to be taken out of the podcast studio and then like carried out?
You're about to get muted. Tandler, what were you about to say?
Do they take reservations there? It doesn't seem like
they might not, because you just have to wait in that line.
We could go get some chicken fried steak.
Maybe we send Pete and he has to wait in the line. That's Pete's game.
Hell, I'm there. That's fun.
All right. Dallas, I got him winning. How about that? They're going to win on Thanksgiving. Last time that happened was RG3, right?
Yeah. No, they beat the Giants last year.
In Dallas,
Right.
But yes.
RG had a hell of a game
day.
One of my favorite games as a Redskins fan.
I worked the desk. I remember that very well. Jen Williams and I worked the desk. And
Santana Moss had the nicest toe tap in the end zone to end the first half.
And Aldrick Robinson had about a 60-some-odd-plus yard touchdown. That was a day out there.
Yeah.
What do you say, Tandler? Thanksgiving.
You know what? I think I'll go with a their due win.
A what?
A their due in Dallas win.
They've lost two in a row.
I thought you said a hairdo win, and I was like, I never heard of that.
I heard a haircut, but never a hairdo. But yes, I'll go with a win on that one.
I had them beating Dallas the first time around, so I think they'll lose this one.
I have them losing as well, three in a row now. The skid is real.
I think I have them sweeping the Cowboys.
So right now we got...
All right, so going into the meat of the schedule, going into December.
Meat.
What do we have them at, Mitch?
We got... JP's got them at 6-5. Mitch has them at 6-5. Rich has them at 7-4. And Pete has them at 5-6.
Okay. So starting to eke towards 500.
Who would have thunk it?
All right, after Cowboys, they get that kind of mini bye like we discussed. They play November 22nd in Dallas, and then they don't play again until December 3rd. If they are doing well, the amount of content we'll have to crank out during that week will just be nuts because people are going to be inhaling it. So
I vote we go to Scotland and play golf.
We'll see if we can pull that off. December 3rd at Eagles Monday night. L.
They could have a month to prepare for that one, and I'd give them now.
Monday night and Philly, there's just a lot to not like about that spot.
For me, they're 5-6. This is where their late season splurge and their stolen game happens. Have them beating the Eagles.
I actually, as much as I hate it, tend to agree with Pete. I think the week off,
Sorry.
You're going to make me change my pick. I got them beating Philly in Philly on Monday night.
All right.
Upset City, baby.
So then on a little bit of a shorter week, they get the Giants at home. I'm going to say they win that one. Giants at home on December 9th.
I'll go with a win. I think, splitting with the Giants, they seem to be on pretty much an equal level, roughly. Split each team winning at home.
I go win, too.
Same.
All right, across the board, we got them all beating the Giants.
All right, three games left at Jacksonville. So here's what I'm going to say. They go at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, are the two of their last three games. I got a split between those two games. And I don't know which one they win, which one they lose, but I just don't see them losing both. So I don't know if you guys want to pick both or if you want to go line by line, but I'm picking both and I'm saying a split.
I'm going loss to both of them.
No, you can't do that.
Tandler.
We're going game by game.
You're such a rule follower, dude.
Stick your neck out just a little bit there, JP. Come on.
Dude, I stick my neck out plenty.
Just pick one.
Win in Nashville, lose in Jacksonville.
All right, there you go. I got loss at both. Rich, what do you got?
I got loss in Jacks, win in Nashville.
Win in Jacks, win in Nashville.
Whoa!
Four-game heater.
So going into the
heaters for Peter.
Going into the final week of the season, we got Mitch and JP at 8-7. We got Rich and Pete at 9-6.
So
I would sign up for this instantly, by the way.
This sets up for a monster win in your end game. This game would absolutely get flexed between the Skins and the Eagles.
Absolutely.
I don't know. What if the Eagles have zero to play for? What if the Eagles clinch the NFC East when they play the Redskins on December 3rd?
Well, when the
I don't know.
None of us know, dude. It's not like we're writing this in stone. Here's what I'll say.
That would be a 4 o'clock game because the same they did with the Giants a couple of years ago.
How are you so confident the Eagles will have clinched the division?
Even if the Eagles have clinched the division, though, they're still going to be playing for playoff positioning almost guaranteed. That's very rarely decided before that final week of the season.
It is often decided.
All right, dude. Tandler is such a
wet Tandler, what do you have happening in the last week of the season that they're going to flex to a 4 o'clock game?
Mitch is so bitter right now. Oh, my God.
What do you got, Rich?
I'm just giving the full prediction at 4 o'clock. I'll be there.
So what do you got?
425.
Say your prediction.
But I'll go. Jesus. Well, yammer on all you want. I'm supposed to get to it. I'll go with a loss.
Ooh. All right. Tandler, feel free to keep talking. I never yelled at you to stop talking.
For the record, Pete was the one that yelled.
Yeah. How are you going to tolerate that from Pete, Tandler?
Like, of all people, Pete?
Next time I see him.
Quivering shelter dog over here.
We'll sort it out, yes.
I have them losing that last game of the season, finishing
at home. So you both have them losing to the Eagles at home.
Yes.
A team that Tandler thinks might have nothing to play for.
I think Tandler almost guaranteed it.
The last time they met a team that had nothing to play for at home in Week 17, it went real shitty. So
well, that's hence the L.
Yeah. I have them faltering on the final weekend as well. Coming up just short. Well, so I'd have them 9-7. Maybe they still be in or not, but I don't think they win against the Eagles.
What does that have me finishing?
We'll announce the final.
I think they win.
Stick his neck out again.
I think they win.
All right.
I think they win.
I'll tell you what, it's pretty interesting. JP, Rich, and Pete all have 9-7. Mitch got 8-8.
Well, we know who they are.
To get there.
You know what I mean? Like,
what a boring bunch of predictions.
But was it? I think it was pretty.
That's the way it lays out.
Yeah.
The way it plays out.
I don't think there's a lot to suggest that this is a 12-win team. I don't think there's a lot to suggest that this is a 6-win team. I think they are right in that. I think I already said this, but 7-10 wins, and it depends on a couple field goals, a couple fumbles. One thing I'll say that we're going to have to start talking about at some point, Alex Smith turns the ball over way less. And I think that will be an asset this season.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting looking at the way that we picked these games. You know, I went real heavy wins early and then kind of faltering at the end. JP was kind of in the middle. Rich kind of was the same way as me. If that ends up happening, what's fan reaction to the high of 6-2 and then the low of finishing 2-6 again? I mean, are we talking about Jay's job? Or are we talking about Alex sticking around? Is this a?
I think these are questions for a non-schedule emergency pod. Frankly, we kind of got to run and do a million other things. But I think we all agree. And RT, you tell me if you agree. Pressure's on Gruden. Period. This is maybe it's not make the playoffs or bust, but like if I think you got to win 9 games, and if you go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs, maybe that's okay. But the pressure's on this year. Period. RT?
Yeah, I think, you know, I would say I'd put it even a little more. I think the pressure is on them to win for double-digit wins. I think, you know, because that would be 4 years in a row between 9-7 and 7-9. I mean, you can't, you know, what are you doing? Where are you, you know, you've got to progress at some point.
It's tough,
I mean,
though.
The only progress would be win either 9-7, making the playoffs and winning one. Obviously, that would be 10 wins, but not in the traditional way, or going 10-6, making the playoffs, and then it may or may not matter if they win one.
The only pushback I would say to that, Tandler, and I agree with you, is this franchise has not had any stability. There is something to be said for, even if it is mediocrity, they're not bottoming out, which is what this team had the previous 15 years, when they'd have the occasional flash of a good season, they'd follow it up with 5-11.
That's true, but have they been able to max out, I guess? You know,
and that's a very fair point.
Have they gotten, has Jay gotten the most out of the talent?
And at what point do you not make a move for a max out guy? But we're not there yet.
Right. And we all know Tandler as being binary 1 or 0, 9 and 7, 7 and 9, whatever it may be with Gruden. But I think there's some nuance to how the team gets to where it does.
I would agree. I was just stepping back and looking at the big picture.
Right. Absolutely.
The one thing I want to add is, while it's fun to look at the Saints games and the Packers games, for them to have a really good 2018, they need to get back to at least playing 500 ball in the division. They can't go 1-5 again.
Great point, Pete.
Pushing around the Cowboys and need to start getting even with the Eagles. It's time to stop being the NFC East doormat.
Great point, Pete. All right, folks, we're going all draft next week, and I don't even know when it starts, Pete. We got so much damn content, podcast stuff
drowning
that we're about to push out. We're going to have a new pod every day next week, I think, if the numbers work out. And you guys better listen to all of them, because you keep telling me you want more pods. So draft week, we're giving you a billion. And we've got,
like, through Saturday, right?
Right. I mean, we've got great guests lined up. We spoke with Tremaine Edmonds, who's going to be a top 10 pick.
Ever heard of him?
Right. We talked to Charles Davis from NFL Network. There's going to be a lot of stuff. It might be overload, but just download, at least download them and try to listen, right?
Yeah.
How about leave a review?
You're going to and from work every day. Some days you can have a new one in the morning and then one in the afternoon. So. Heck, who knows?
Oh, work is boring. Listen to it at work while you're filling out those spreadsheets.
TPS reports. And here's the other thing. Our plan, and some of this will, you never know exactly how schedules will play out in our industry, but our plan is to put out a new pod after every, not after every pick, but every night. So Thursday night after the Redskins make their first round pick, you'll get a new podcast. Friday night, the Redskins will make a second and a third round. Well, they'll make a second round pick right now, but who knows? There could be a lot of changes. You'll get a new podcast Saturday after all the picks are done. We're going to be out at FedEx Field. If anybody's going to be out at FedEx Field, say what's up. And if not, Mitch is putting together a TV show from out at FedEx Field.
We're going to have a bunch of stuff out there. It's going to be fun.
Make sure you're watching and you're paying attention. And Saturday night, we'll have a new one that maybe will come out Sunday morning, because I don't know when we're all going to sleep. But we are going to publish the hell out of this podcast next week. And you guys better be listening, commenting, doing your thing.
Telling your friends.
Yeah, how's tell a friend going?
It's tuckered out. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right, tell your friends. Damn it!
I heard Rich was taking some heat on Twitter for not communicating with the little people. That's not true, everyone. Rich likes communicating with everybody.
Hell, he communicates with me all the time. So
he does not like communicating with Pete, I don't think. Pete, do we have time for me to read a review?
Hell yeah! Especially if it's the review I'm thinking.
All right. The dog review.
Yeah.
I know this is an emergency pod. I've been working for 14 hours. We all have.
In my opinion, we should have started the pod with this, but get on with it.
Emergency best review ever.
This review is tremendous. And for folks that aren't, abstract? For folks that aren't, I'm losing my mind now. For folks that aren't abstract thinkers, just try to bear with us on this review. But I got to pull it up. So, and the other thing we've said is 225 reviews is when we'll make the next party announcement. Is that right, Pete?
Yeah, and it couldn't be easier. We're so close.
Our podcast producer is just on his phone. He's not really paying attention.
I'll tell you what. We've had a lot of podcast party interest from Blacksburg up to Pittsburgh.
Ashburn.
We got guys all across the board who want to get in.
We're going to Ashburn, so hopefully that makes it a little bit easier. I can't find the dog review, dude. Pete, you got it?
Yep, got it right here, JP.
I want to read it, dude.
All right.
Here is this review. This is from Booth H, and he says, "Gotta love the dynamics in this kennel," which is just great. "I'm a lonely, long-suffering Skins fan, a native Virginian who's lived in North Texas the last 20 years. I'm not complaining about the contempt I catch from Cowboys fans. I just think of it as a character-building experience. Still, for displaced refugees like me, this podcast is an ongoing reminder of home. A few weeks ago, JP called Pete a mutt." I'd say that quite often.
And this is where things get weird.
"That remark made me realize that this podcast has the interpersonal dynamics of a kennel. JP is the hyper, short-legged dachshund who's always bolting down gopher holes and who long ago concluded that he's the alpha just because he bounces the highest and yaps the most."
Accurate.
Rich is the beta dog, the sad-eyed basset hound who every night mournfully bays at the moon as he ponders his lot in life, or at least his lot on this podcast.
The best.
Mitch and Pete are the quivering... Hold on. Mitch and Pete are the quivering shelter mutts. Pete seems particularly deprived and must resentfully wonder why Mitch's bowl is always filled with so much kibble. Both of them are silently conspiring to take out the alpha. If you just envision the podcast this way, you realize it could be a Pixar cartoon. It's so damn good.
I'll tell you what, we should get our graphics department to put together a little cartoon with it. I don't like being a shivering shelter dog.
Yeah, are you sad that you're lumped in with me as the quivering shelter dog?
By the way, that's why I hate meat, because I can't be lumped in with Pete. Right. But
how do they know I have short legs, dude?
No, everyone knows you're short.
I'm not short.
You just got stumpy legs.
I have a long torso is how I like to frame it. That's a great review. We want all of you guys to leave reviews. Tanner, did you need a comment on the review?
Just that I'm more of a Labrador than a Basset Hound, but other than that, it's pretty accurate.
Can you give me your best bay at the moon?
I will not.
Come on, man.
I will not.
How about at 250 reviews, you will bay at the moon for us?
Not until you guys do the equivalent of putting a turkey hat on.
I will do something goofy. Come up with something, and I'll do it. But I'm a hyper dachshund running around. I do all the weird stuff.
Gopher holes.
Yeah, dude. I do lots of weird stuff.
I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, Booth H, you live outside Dallas. If you're able to make it around Thanksgiving, you got a beer.
We will buy you
some beers.
All right. We've blown through our time.
Assuming you're old enough to drink beer.
All right. We're going to go, folks. I hope you enjoy this emergency pod. It's a little all over the place, but so are we. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.